For today's scripture reading, our lay reader is Jacob Howell.
Today's scripture is Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "There are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, who have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove you, your lampstand, from its place, unless you repent. Yet this is to your credit. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God."
Thank you, Jacob. Starting today, I will be talking about the revival of the church. I am planning to speak on this topic for 3 weeks, but it could be longer if the Holy Spirit leads us. As we anticipate the end of the pandemic, it is a good time for us to consider how we can be an authentic church that pleases our Lord in a post-COVID era. We all admit that many things around us have changed over the year, and church ministry is no exception. The Virginia Conference recently announced a district alignment plan where the 16 district superintendents will be reduced to 8 district superintendents starting in July. And also PRG, which stands for Post-COVID Reentry Group, was formed to help clergy to be equipped to form and lead local church PRG teams and to be prepared to rethink and reshape church ministry. Our church also needs to make a transition from the healthy church team to post-COVID reentry group by June to prepare for the upcoming post-COVID era. What will our Lord say to our church at this critical time? We hope that over the next few weeks, we will take a look at the 7 churches the Lord had sent letters to in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, so that we can be guided with a new direction and vision for our church's future ministry. Before we look at today's scripture, I want you to remember that these 7 churches were all actual churches in Asia Minor, the western part of the modern-day Turkey. They were struggling with persecution, temptation to moral and spiritual compromise. We will be surprised that although each church had to deal with their own issues 2,000 years ago, their issues are not much different from ours. Let's briefly look at the background of the book of Revelation. Because of his witnessing the gospel, Apostle John was exiled at Patmos, a small island in the Aegean Sea, approximately 40 miles southwest of Ephesus. While John was there, he received several visions from Christ. Many scholars agree that John wrote the book of Revelation just before he was released from Patmos during Emperor Domitian's reign around AD 95. John died around AD 100, so this was his last book written. The first letter went to Ephesus, a major pagan city in the ancient world. Because of its location as a port city on the shores of the Aegean Sea, it was bustling cosmopolitan city. It was also home to the Temple of Artemis, also known as Diana, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Apostle Paul spent more than 2 years there to establish the church, a thriving church through which he could build up a base camp for Gentile missions in Turkey. After Paul first planted the church, Apollos, Timothy, and later Apostle John served as leaders of the church. John begins in verse 1, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands." Most biblical scholars say that the angel of the church in these letters are those seven, the angel of the church in these letters is the pastor or the church leader of the church. The seven golden lampstands are those seven churches representing all churches in each era. Jesus himself was the one who sent this letter, and he expressed himself as the one ultimately holding pastors and churches. This means that Jesus himself knows pastors and church leaders who have faced many challenges and hardships throughout time. Jesus has also walked with us as we continue our missions and ministries in the midst of the pandemic. Jesus has never forgotten us. Amen. In verse 2 and 3, Jesus first begins his letter to the church of Ephesus, commending them for their works. Jesus says, "I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. There was much to commend about the church at Ephesus. Three times Jesus says, "I know your deeds." They had a church calendar filled to overflowing with events, programs, meetings, and a whole variety of outreach events to the community. Not only that, they were able to discern false teachers and apostles. In verse 6, Jesus especially commanded how they rejected the teachings of the Nicolaitans. One of many sects in the early church that taught that freedom in Christ meant you have the freedom to sin with impunity. They were the ones who compromised on sexual impurity, saying things like, "My body is mine. I can do with it whatever I want and still be in good standing with God." Jesus actually says he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It was a great church, hardworking, biblically centered, courageous, filled with people who persevered and never gave up. So we are surprised to hear the next verse, verse 4, which says, "But I have these against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." Lost the first love. Somehow, in the midst of all their godly busyness and all their standing for the truth, somehow, somewhere along the way, they had left Christ out of their church. Jesus knew that they had left their first love, and now they didn't love Jesus very much at all. What we are afraid of is that it is also a warning to churches today. The Lord knows well whether all our deeds are out of love for him or out of our own zeal. This means that the motives of the ministry, mission, and community outreach events our church is planning must come out of the love of God. If we love God, we obey God's word. If we obey God's word, we love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, in verse 5, Jesus gives commands to his church to recover their love, saying, "Remember then from what you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first." We need to remember three R's here: remember, repent, and restore. We probably all can remember those early days of our salvation. We so loved the Lord that we could not wait to share the gospel. We wanted to tell our parents, our neighbors, friends, and coworkers of what God did in our lives. When did you last witness Jesus to unbelievers and lead them to faith in the Lord? We were also delighted to come to church to serve and join the fellowship with other church members. But as time goes by, we lose our passion and fall into mannerism. We attend worship service regularly and participate in Bible studies, missions, and outreach events. But it was not because of our love for Jesus, but because of our sense of duty, obligation. Today, Jesus urges us to remember our first love and think about where we lost our first love, then repent. Jesus warns that if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Any church may have its lampstand removed by the Lord. If the church fails in the measure of the Lord's love. Let's think about Centenary Church. I heard that our church was the mother church of the churches in the Lynchburg area, right? It was full of people in this large sanctuary and was a thriving church, as fruitful as the Ephesus church. However, decades later, somehow, our church lost so many members, as well as our passion for witnessing the gospel. Does this mean that God removed the lampstand of our church? No. I personally believe that the Lord has not yet removed the lampstand from our church. There are many reasons. Let me share a few. I have witnessed the passion and love for the church in our church leaders during the process of reorganizing the church 2 years ago. We were trying to rise as a vital congregation through the three teams ministry, but the pandemic hit us hard and we had to lock down the church. I have also witnessed many people in our congregation serve their ministry out of their love, their pure love for the Lord. Whenever I pray for the members of the church, tears and gratitude still overflow because I know the Holy Spirit in me is interceding for our church with groaning. Oh, Lord. Beloved, God loves Centenary Church, even though we no longer have a large congregation. No one say amen. Our Lord will applaud more for how truly we sacrificed out of love for God than for great accomplishments with a large congregation. Amen? Therefore, we ought to not be discouraged, even if many church members do not return. Instead, let us be excited that this can be an opportunity that we can rebuild our church as a healthy, vital church that pleases God. Only thing we need is men and women who are eager to sacrifice themselves for the glory of God. Amen. Then our Lord will pour out the Holy Spirit upon them for renewing their hearts and minds. So let's begin to think about what we would do differently if God allows us to start a new centenary church. Amen. Now, in verse 7, the Lord ended his letter with the word of promise. It says, to everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. Since Adam and Eve sinned against God, man had been expelled from the garden. But in Revelation, Jesus promised that those who conquer will be granted the ability to eat of the tree of life in paradise. Biblically, the conqueror is to overcome the world by believing in Jesus Christ. I want to make sure, world, not word. I'm sorry. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. If we believe in these words, we have to believe that we too have conquered the world in Jesus Christ. Beloved, let us always remember that he who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. Let us constantly pray to God to restore our first love, because only true love for God will revive our church. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, help us restore our first love. We remember the day we confessed our faith in Jesus Christ. Oh God, forgive us for your love taking for granted. Restore our love. Restore our church, centenary church, Lord. Restore the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen.